Hi, everybody. This is Gene Montarastelli, the editor of TappingQ&A.com, and welcome to the November questions and tap along call. As always, if you have questions or an issue that you'd like to tap along to, you have two options if you're listening to us online. All you need to do is, in the left-hand side, just type a question into the chat box over there, and I will get it. If you have dialed in either from your phone or via Skype, all you need to do is press star 2 to raise your hand, and I will see it here on my dashboard, and I will unmute you so you have a chance to ask your question or have your tapping issue dealt with. Before we jump into anything, and so if you want to queue yourself up with your questions or raise your hand, that'd be great. I wanted to touch base on something that we talked about last month. Last month, we spent a chunk of time talking about tapping for physical pain, and we went after it a number of different ways. I'd really encourage you to go back and kind of listen to the different approaches we had to physical pain. I actually heard back from the person who we tapped with on the call, and we talked about pain in lots of different ways, and she reported that it was responding really, really well to the tapping. So I'd encourage you to do that. As a caveat to that, and the first thing that I wanted to cover today is I wanted to refresh if you have seen it before on the site, or introduced to you if you haven't seen it before, something my friend Dan Cleary calls the 10% solution. Dan specializes in pain management, and if you go back into the Tapping Q&A podcast archive, you can hear a full conversation about pain management and how he deals with that. That's his specialty. It's in the first three or four podcasts, so it's a couple of years old, but all the information's really good. And one of the ideas he talks about is this idea of the 10% solution. And what the 10% solution is this recognition that when we're doing transformation doesn't have to be a complete transformation to be useful. And this doesn't just apply to pain, but applies to everything. And so when someone comes to a hypnotist, a tapping person, an acupuncturist, typically what has happened is they have spent 5 to 7 years navigating the traditional medical establishment trying to find help and relief. And once they've exhausted all of those things, if they're not used to having these complementary care ideas in their life, is they will turn to someone for some complementary care. And what Dan would do is you have a client sit down with him, and he would say, how would you feel if I told you 90 minutes from now after we did a hypnosis session, because he's a hypnotist, that you would be 100% pain-free? And the person's like, yeah, that'd be great. And he's like, forget it. It's not going to happen. And they're kind of taken aback. And then he says, okay, what would happen, or how would you feel if I took away 50% of the pain? And they're like, well, they appreciate that. That'd be really good. It'd be a relief. And he kept stepping them down until he got to 10%. And he said, how would your life be different if we were able to reduce your pain by 10%? Now, that is far from pain relief. But oftentimes, by reducing the symptoms by 10%, life becomes radically different. Someone who has back pains, with a 10% reduction, maybe they're in a circumstance now where they can sit down for a couple of hours where they couldn't do that before, and all of a sudden they can take the grandkids to a movie, or they can go out to dinner with their spouse, where these things wouldn't have been possible before because they couldn't sit that long. And so 10% relief is a really wonderful thing. Now, if I going into something saying, I'm going to tap on this issue to make it go away, and the issue doesn't go away, it's going to feel like I failed. Because I set myself up for failure because I decided success was the elimination of this issue. And that would be wonderful, and there are lots of issues that we can get that sort of relief from. But it's really important that we're keying in on this idea of what relief can and look like. All we need to do is recognize what 10% of relief would mean for us. So when you're going to tap for something, because getting rid of 10% of something oftentimes can be done in a single round of tapping or a single session, and that can be a really powerful thing if we recognize it for that powerful thing. So when you're sitting down to tap and you're tapping on an issue, like we talked about last week, physical pain or something else, ask yourself the question, what would this be like if 10% of the pain went away, if 10% of the fear went away, if 10% of the overwhelm went away? What would I be able to achieve, or what choices would I be able to make if that happened? And so by doing that, you're going to put yourself in a position where all of a sudden you're recognizing progress and you're not feeling like I failed because it didn't all go away. It's really interesting when people are first learning how to tap. They go from this skepticism to this disappointment when one round of tapping doesn't completely eviscerate whatever it is they're tapping on. That their expectations just flip so suddenly from something that seems completely unreasonable to something that feels like it needs to be happening in just a couple of seconds. And so it's important that we recognize how great and powerful this tool set is. But with anything, when we're going in for that transformation, it's good that we recognize the fact that a percent, is something that can be really powerful and change our day, change how we feel, change the choices we make, which put us into the position where we can gently and easily move forward. So I just wanted to stick that as a little bow, as the caveat onto what we were talking about last time, as something that I find really, really helpful, and I'm sure you will as well, whenever you're sitting down to tap on whatever it is. First question has come into the chat box here. How do I tap for overwhelm? This is something that comes up a lot, and I think we've even addressed it on the call before, but it's going to go good to go back to, particularly as we're going into the time of year where things get really busy. You know, we're having to spend all of this extra time buying gifts and preparing for holiday parties and going to pageants and plays and all sorts of things, Christmas concerts and all of that. That amazingly, time gets packed together really, really tightly, and it's really, really easy to feel overwhelmed. So the trick for me when it comes to tapping for overwhelm is to recognize that when I'm tapping for overwhelm, my goal isn't to eliminate overwhelm, kind of like what we just talked about with the 10% solution. My goal is to put myself in a position to handle whatever is in front of me next without feeling overwhelmed. And when I complete that whatever is next, and it's possible for that overwhelm to become rushing back, then what I do is I get a chance to go tap on it again and deal with whatever comes up next. So I don't have to eliminate overwhelm for the rest of my life. I don't even have to eliminate it for the rest of the day. Oftentimes, I simply need to eliminate this sense of overwhelm to start the next task, because when I'm doing whatever the next task is, I'm so engrossed in it, I lose track of everything else that I need to get done, and I don't feel overwhelmed because I'm doing what is in front of me. It's only when I step back and see the big picture and recognize everything that needs to be done that that sense of overwhelm comes rushing back into my life. So the first key point is to recognize the fact that when we're tapping for overwhelm, it's not something that we need to clear it forever. So for me, when I'm experiencing overwhelm, basically what is happening is I'm experiencing emotionally everything that needs to be done in a certain period of time from now into the future, all in this moment. The way I like to think about it is like playing cards, and each card represents a task I have to do or an event I have to go to or something. And if all is well, those playing cards are neatly laid out on a timeline, and I'm only dealing with the card with the point on the timeline I am right now. So I deal with the thing and I move forward. I deal with the next thing and move forward. When I get overwhelmed, what happens is all of those cards get stacked on top of this moment. And now I'm trying to deal with everything at once, and that's when it becomes overwhelming, and that's where it becomes too much. So to tap for overwhelm, what I do is, and sometimes I tap multiple times over the course of a day, is it's something as simple as, just if you want to tap along with me, you can. I have a lot of things that I need to do. And if I had to do them all right now, that would be an absolute impossibility. But I give myself permission to recognize that as I am doing this, All I need to do is do what is in front of me right now. And if I do this one task and I get it done well, then I'm going to be able to move on to the next task. There's more than enough time to get everything done if I'm not trying to do everything at once. I'm going to do what's in front of me and then move on to the next task. And as we were tapping through that, I remembered where we talked about this before. Last month when I talked about the types of tapping I did over the course of the week, I think this was one of the things I shared because at that moment, I was pretty overwhelmed. So when doing something like this, all you need to do is feel overwhelmed, take 90 seconds to tap, reduce the overwhelm enough to start the next task. For me, I get so immersed in that the overwhelm disappears. Repeat the process. Look at my to-do list, look where I'm heading next, and then go through it like that. So that's pretty straightforward. Let's see here. Next question. Again, if you have a question you want to raise your hand, press star 2. We get more folks online today. More questions are coming in. I would like to share tapping with my friends and family. Do you have any recommendations on how to share tapping with others? This is a fabulous question because this is something at one point in my life I did really, really poorly. That I was really good at running people over with my zealot sense of how wonderful and awesome this is. Because when you first make your way to tapping, it's a really awesome thing. And it's a really amazing thing that it's easy to become overwhelmed by it and think that everybody in the world should be doing this most amazing thing because it's so simple. And that's a good sense to have, but it can also happen when we have that sense that we can run people over. And you know what it's like when you have a friend that's passionate about anything, a new television show, a new smoothie drink to drink, a new church to go to, whatever it is, that when they're in the throes of the excitement of the beginning, that they're not listening. They're just spewing this stuff out. I know in my own experience, in my zealotness of getting people to understand tapping, I have actually talked people out of wanting to tap. That they're really excited about tapping. And then what happens is, as I start to explain things, I start raising questions in their mind they didn't even know they had. And as I continue to raise questions in their mind they didn't even know to have, all of a sudden they become more and more skeptical. And so I end up doing the exact opposite thing. Instead of talking them into tapping, I end up talking them out of tapping. So here are some really simple, good guidelines to keep in mind when you're introducing other people to tapping. Okay. So number one is just remember what it's like to have someone else share something with you and just use that as a framework when you're sharing it for someone else. Remember what it's like when people are really excited coming at you. And not that you need to temper your enthusiasm, but you need to share it in an appropriate way. The second thing is when you're sharing tapping with someone, you know, I like to offer it to someone once and then move on. And then as I'm having regular conversation with them, what I will do is I will mention, you know, I was really struggling with this thing and so I tapped for it and this was the result. And so I'm talking cause and effect in this setting. I'm not telling someone, oh, have you tapped on that thing yet? Or, ooh, you need to try tapping for that. After I've recommended it once to them, what I then do is from that point forward is I simply talk about it inside of my own life. Now, let's pretend I have someone who is, and this doesn't run them over, and then they can ask me follow-up questions because they keep hearing over and over again how good it is. Now, once we get to the point where someone has agreed that they want to try tapping, our initial instinct is want to explain everything to them all at once because we've absorbed a lot of information about tapping, about what works and what doesn't, and which order, and do you need water, and blah, 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 and all the stuff, and the meridian channels, and that's just too complicated. In the beginning, they don't care. In the beginning, they want relief. They want to see something that's useful. And so what I do is I don't talk about anything other than this is the process. These are the tapping points. This is how we tune in. Let's give it a try. And by keeping it really simple, because they're interested in the result, they're not interested in the process yet, I'm not going to give them anything. Now, if they ask specific questions, I'm going to answer them. But in the beginning, I'm going to give them as little information as needed to get them to try it. Because after we've tapped and after they've had some success, then I'm not trying to convince them that this works. What I'm doing instead is I'm explaining to them what they've just experienced. And people have a tendency to be much more excited to gain new information when they're doing that. So when I'm initially introducing someone to tapping, I say, this is what it is, this is how we do it, and then off we go. When I'm introducing someone to tapping and they're really interested, the place that I like to start is I like to start with a physical pain that is not chronic, then on a scale of 0 to 10, is bigger than a 4. So again, physical pain, not chronic, bigger than 4 on a scale of 1 to 10, 0 to 10. And there's a reason for this, okay? Physical pains are something that everybody has, really easy to tune into, and it's not as overwhelming of having to share some deep, dark secret. You know, I'm doing this new thing. The last thing I want to do is tell you everything about my past, or at least that's what it can feel like. So physical pain is something that's easy to deal with. The second thing is not something that's chronic. This is really important because chronic issues oftentimes can have multiple facets to them that can be relieved with tapping, but might not be relieved very quickly. And so we want an easy win to start with. And so by doing that, it gives us the ability to demonstrate something really easily and quickly without much trouble. The last piece is something that is bigger than a 4 on a scale of 0 to 10. This is so we have an opportunity to demonstrate magnitude. Because if we have something that's a 2 or a 3 and it goes from a 2 to a 1, well, that's not very much because there wasn't a lot of pain, so there's not a great sense of relief. But if I have something that is more intense, what it allows me to do is it allows me, even if it just goes from a 7 to a 5, and that doesn't feel like a huge jump for an experienced tapper, that's going to be big enough that it's noticeable that they're going to want to continue on the process to be present to what's going on. So when I'm first teaching them something, I'm going to do, like I said, physical, non-chronic, bigger than a 4 and 0 to 10. After we've had an opportunity to do that and they want to try something emotional, what I like to do is I say, I want you to think of something that you had a disproportionate response sometime in the last 4 or 5 days. So basically, something that they've overreacted to that they're really close proximity. Again, we're making it safe so they don't have to go diving back into their past about this horrible thing that happened to me when I was 6. I don't want to be sharing with this person in a non-therapeutic setting and we're doing this wacky tapping thing. So by saying something that is a disproportionate response, and we all know what a disproportionate emotional response is, that happened sometime in the last 5 days, feels much less personal, and we're not diving into their past. And so it gives us this great opportunity to demonstrate for them a really easy way that we can move forward. Finally, and the last point that I think is really, really important when we're introducing tapping to other people, is to let them know it looks silly, because by naming it, we're disarming it. You know, it looks silly. There's no two ways about it. Tapping looks silly. And so, by being honest and upfront about that fact, it makes it easier for them to be comfortable with that. You know, we're going to do some tapping and it's going to look really crazy. You know, when we're done and we have relief, I say, isn't that weird? Because this is outside of the scope of most people's experience and it's going to feel really weird. And because it feels weird, it might feel dangerous. And so by naming it looks silly and by naming that it feels weird, what we're doing is we're letting them know that we're validating their feelings and it's okay for it to be those things because as that happens, we're going to continue to let that go. So we're giving them permission to know, yep, this looks crazy and yep, this is kind of weird. You know, I still have that experience where it feels really, really weird that I have this level of success. And so it's really important to tune into that. So if you keep those things in mind, you know, remember what it feels like to have someone zealously sharing something with you. Offer it once, then bring it up in your own life. When you're teaching it to them, start with a simple pain, a simple emotion. Let them know that it's weird. If you do those five things when you're sharing tapping with someone, you're going to find it's going to be much more well received versus something that's coming from this random zealot who's overrunning everyone. So I hope that is helpful. If any of that is left unclear, you know, again, feel free to raise your hand, press star 2, or type something into the chat box, and we'll have the opportunity to deal with that. Next question in the chat box. I've been tapping for an issue for a really, really long time, and I'm getting no success at all. What am I doing wrong? Well, you know, for this, I wish you would have called in because we could kind of poke around with that, but maybe you're not able to do that today. So let's talk about some things that might be going on. Okay. Let's see. There are four things to really keep in mind when thinking about this. Number one is, and it's interesting because I wrote about this in the last week or so for the website. The issues that we have exist for a reason. You know, the system isn't trying to sabotage us, but whatever is going on is there because it thinks it's being useful in some way. And this is particularly true with emotional stuff. You know, when I fear something, it's because it's trying to keep me safe. When I'm overwhelmed, it's my system saying, there's too much going on, make it stop. And so the first thing we need to do is we need to look and see it. What would be the penalty of letting this go? Because if there is some penalty for changing or healing this thing, then it's going to be really, really hard. You know, something like a fear. You know, my system doesn't want to let a fear go because the fear is pointing out danger and it wants me to be safe. And so it's really, really afraid that if something comes up or if it points something out that is out of control and I don't respond to it because I don't feel afraid anymore, I'm going to put myself into danger. So I think the first thing is when we're not seeing any change is to tap on this idea of, you know, it's safe for me to heal and safe for me to let this go. Something like my system is holding on to this because it thinks that this is something that's really important. It sees value in this emotion, belief, or whatever we're tapping for. And I just want my system to know it is safe and healthy for me to release this. It is safe and healthy for me to let this go. I don't have to cling to it in order to be healthy. I know my system wants what's best for me, and it's trying to do what's best for me. And if it needs to revert back to this way, because that's the only way I can be safe, I let my system know that that's a possibility. Right now, I simply want to recognize, I see that my system is motivated by health and well-being, and I give myself permission to release and let it go. So what we're doing is we're validating the sense that the system is holding on to this for good reason and letting it know that it can always pick it back up again if it needs it, oftentimes creates space for that. So that's the first thing I would do. The second thing I would do, and we talked about this a little bit when we were talking about tapping for pain, is I really like to tap around the emotion I have about the issue at hand. You know, I'm frustrated that I'm afraid to speak in public. I feel like my body is letting me down because I have physical pain all over the place. Whatever it is, I like to start with the emotions I have about the issue. Because by clearing the emotions I have about the issue, if there's, you know, if I feel like my system is letting me down, it's not going to want to heal because it's in a space where it thinks that it's a giant failure. Not that my system thinks, but there's this sense going on the subconscious level. And so the second thing I do when I'm not making any progress at all, I take a step back and go, okay, what's the emotion I have about this issue? And use that to get some insight to step in to start the transformation. The third thing I do is, and this is a simple thing, and there are people that have different opinions about it, but, you know, I'll find the study and I'll put a link to it on the website. There was a really interesting study that showed the way that information travels through the body. And when we're hydrated, because that information, you know, is electricity, it's energy as it moves through the system, water's a great conduit for that. And so when we're hydrated, things move through the system much easier. And it was some ridiculous exponential factor that when we're hydrated versus unhydrated or dehydrated, how well the system responds to something like tapping. So I would make sure that you're properly hydrated when you're tapping. And the fourth and final thing And I'm not saying that you need to come to me to do this, but find someone you trust and work with a practitioner. As a practitioner, I provide a number of things. I'm on the outside. I'm not in the middle of what you're dealing with. And so I'm not caught in the emotional swirl. And sometimes I have perspective that you don't, simply by not being inside of your head. I have experience. You know, there are issues that I have worked with hundreds and hundreds of clients on. And because of that, oftentimes I'm going to be able to cut to the chase much faster than you are. I have expertise. You know, I have lots of training in tapping and other modalities that might help us to clear the issue faster than you're going to be able to do that on your own. And there's an accountability as well. It's really interesting. You know, I work out regularly, and a number of days a week, I work with a personal trainer. And there are multiple times that if I was working out on my own, after about 30 or 40 minutes, I would stop. And because I'm working with Erica, she pushes me to the full hour. So that accountability of working with someone else really helps. So if you find something that you're tapping on and you're just not making a lot of progress, find a tapping practitioner that you trust. Like I said, it doesn't have to be me. It's just anybody that you trust who gives you the opportunity to work with this. And oftentimes when working with a tapping practitioner, even if you don't completely clear the issue with them, because of their expertise and their ability to tease out what's going on, you might uncover a root cause that you didn't realize was there. And then you can go tap on that by yourself once you recognize that. So you're not making progress. Deal with the resistance to change. Deal with the emotion around the issue. Make sure you're hydrated. And get help from the outside if you're really, really stuck. So, excellent. Again, if I missed anything or something feels unclear, feel free to type something into the chat box. Or as always, you can press star 2 to raise your hand. Another question in the chat box. I am new at a job, and I feel like because of my inexperience, I don't fit in with everyone else. Is there anything I can do to tap to make myself feel more comfortable at work? This is a really common thing, you know, when we step into a new place. It also can happen when, you know, we're maybe selling products or services to a marketplace that is more educated or more affluent than us, that it's really easy to feel like we don't fit in. And so tapping for something like that looks like this. Side of the hand, nice big deep breath. There's a part of me that is struggling to fit in. There's a part of me that feels like I don't belong. I feel like I'm not qualified. I feel like I'm not as experienced. I feel like everybody else belongs. And when they look at me, they see I don't belong. And I feel like a fraud. I give myself permission to know that as I am there, I am there for a reason. I am there to be present. I am there to be helpful. I am there because I have something to offer. I have a different experience. I have a different disposition. I have different expertise. And I give myself permission to know that I am here for a reason. I might not know as much as everyone around me. I might not have as much experience as everyone around me. But I have a life experience. And I have spent time in ways that others have not. And because of my worldview, I see things differently enough that it adds a lot to what is going on. Everybody I'm around was new at one point. Everyone I'm around was less experienced than they are now. It is simply a process for me to fit in and to feel part of what is going on. I'm here for a reason. I'm here because I have value, and I will be able to contribute. So just starting in that way is a way that'll move your way in and make yourself feel accepted. Excellent. One more time. Refresh questions. No other questions in the chat box. No other hands that are raised, because no hands have been raised. Raise your hand, people. I want to hear from you. Just so you know, if you haven't seen on the website, I updated the call page. So when you click on the call archive page, it's much easier to use now. You can see clearly when the next calls are happening, as well as get more information about past calls. So you can go back into the things that have been taught and tapped for, so you can find the stuff that's most useful. As always, if there's a call coming up that you can't be on, but you have a question that you'd like to have answered or an issue that you'd like to have tapped for, just let me know. Send me an email, gene@tappingqna.com, and we'll make sure we get that covered in the call. I'm going to take one more shot over. No more questions there. No hands raised there. Well, with that, I will wish you a very lovely, lovely fall Saturday afternoon or morning or evening, depending on where you are. As always, let me know what I can do for you, gene@tappingqna.com. I hope you guys have a great day, and I will talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.